Colossians chapter 1. And look here in verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. I was reading that today, and you know, we've looked at this verse so many times. One of the things about God's Word, you can never exhaust it. I heard a fellow one time talking, and he is a Greek expert. And he said, you know, when you go through the Bible and you understand the depth of the meaning of the words, you could almost preach a sermon on every word in the Bible. And I understand what he means. Well, not to the depth that he understands it, but I understand what he means. Well, here in this passage, there's really, I don't think you could possibly exhaust this passage, these little three verses we've just read, because of what they mean. Now, it says that God has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. So immediately what we see in this is that when it comes to the power of darkness, really, irrelevant of what that is. What is the power of darkness? Well, I don't know what the power of darkness is, but it really doesn't matter because apparently I couldn't deliver myself. So it doesn't, whatever it is, it's got to be bad. But I couldn't deliver myself, so God delivered me. But not only did he deliver me, he then translated me into the kingdom of his dear Son. So here I am. I'm born again. I've been delivered from the power of darkness. That means that anything associated with that darkness from which I have been delivered is no longer powerful enough to re-in-bondage me. You understand what I mean? By itself, it can't do it. God's delivered me from it and translated me into the kingdom of his dear Son. So evidently, before this deliverance and translation, I was not in the kingdom of God's dear Son. You see that? So, until God worked his work, I was stuck in the power of darkness. But he's delivered me from the power of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. Okay, I'm thinking about all this. And as I'm reading this and thinking about it, my mind began to drift back to Genesis. Genesis chapter 1. And you don't have to turn back there. You can stay right here in Colossians. Jesus, when he was teaching, made a statement that God is a spirit. Now, when you go back to Genesis, in Genesis chapter 1, it talks about God creating everything, does it not? And we read the story of creation in Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2. But God is a spirit. However, everything that we read in Genesis 1 and 2, as far as what was created, is a natural creation. Trees, birds, you name it, planets, and all that. But God is a spirit. Therefore, since God created, and God is a spirit, and we can see the process of creation in Genesis 1 and 2, and God said, and there was, and God said, and there was. What that means is that everything which exists. Now, I know Genesis 3, corruption. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But everything that exists in the natural, this entire universe, everything originated in the Spirit. Because God is a Spirit. So, here's God, and he has this idea for creation, a universe. Everything about creation, this entire universe, started with an idea in God. And then God, out of himself, spoke in the realm of the Spirit. And when he spoke in the realm of the Spirit, it initiated an action in the natural to bring about all of creation. So everything that we have started in God was released out of God in the realm of the Spirit and became natural creation. No exceptions. Everything. So what we have then is the fact that we exist in this natural, but there's also a spiritual aspect to our very existence. Jesus said God is a spirit. Now, Jesus also said you must be born of the Spirit, or spiritually born. We call it born again. Okay, I understand that. So therefore, there is a direct connection between me, Spirit, creation, and all of this. You with me so far? So here I am in this creation, and there is this other dimension called Spirit. Now, everything in this other dimension called Spirit was the source for everything in this realm of the natural to come into existence, but it had to flow out of God before it could manifest. Now, side journey. I'm thinking the other day about, you know, Abraham and how he heard God, Moses, how he heard God. I'm thinking, how'd they hear God? They weren't born again. They didn't have spiritual life. How'd they hear God? Well, he spoke. I know. How'd they hear him? And in my mind, I began to envision this. Now, this isn't exactly how it happened. This is just, you know, just my imagination running away with me. Maybe I'll make that a song someday. Hallelujah. So I'm seeing God. He's on his throne. And he wants to talk to Abraham. So he gets off of his throne. And you're not a good Abraham. He goes over to Abraham. He gets off his throne. And he says, Abraham? Now, Abraham, he can't see God. Because Abraham is restricted to seeing things in the natural. But God's standing right there in front of him. Abraham? And Abraham says, yeah. I want you to leave home. Leave your family. Leave your land. Go to a land that I'll show you. Abraham says, okay, I'll do that. Now, he can't see who he's talking to. God's standing right there looking at him. Now, see, this is where it's a good thing I'm not God. Because if I was God, I'd be Abraham. Because I know he can't see me. Yeah, Brother Martin, we are so thankful you're not God. Do you understand what I'm saying? How that God could be smack dab right. Listen, he could be right in front of Abraham. And remember Moses? And all these people that God spoke to all throughout the Old Testament? Man, he could have been like 12 inches away from them, standing there looking right at them, talking to them. All those prophets? Same kind of a thing. And here's God in the Spirit. So he's now, you say, well, okay, well, how's he do it now? God isn't restricted to having to climb down off the throne and come down here and talk to us, because by virtue of the Holy Spirit, so now Spirit to Spirit. Another good reason to pray in tongues. Getting back to the sermon. Everything in Genesis was created. It originated out of the realm of the Spirit, passed through God and manifested and became natural. That means everything we see, everything, started in the realm of the Spirit. You say, even these light bulbs? Well, not the light bulbs themselves, but the materials that were used to make the light bulbs. We figured out over the centuries how to use sand and things to make glass and all this other. You understand what I mean? But what these light bulbs were made out of originated in the realm of the Spirit. Here in Colossians, it says that we're to give thanks to God. He's translated us out of the power of darkness and or delivered us from the power of darkness, translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Now look over in Colossians chapter 2. Look here in verse 8. It says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Now look here. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. So what does it say about Jesus? It says he's there with God, does it not? Where's God? In the realm of the Spirit. It also says in here that I am what? I'm complete in him. Doesn't it say that? So Jesus, the fullness of the Godhead bodily, then it says that I am complete in him. What does complete mean? Complete. It doesn't say incomplete, does it? It says complete. Okay. Now look over in John chapter 18. And we'll come back here to Colossians in just a moment or two. But over in John chapter 18, look here in verse 36. Jesus is on trial. This is prior to his crucifixion. He's talking to Pilate and he says, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now my kingdom is not from hence." In other words, my kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is not of the natural things. Well, if it's not of the natural things, then what is it? Spiritual. My kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. Now look back over in Colossians. It says in chapter 1, verse 13, God delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Well, where is that kingdom? It's a spiritual kingdom, right? It's not of this world. So that means that even though I'm existing in this natural world, I have been translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Which means that I am now in a spiritual state wherein I previously never dwelt. In Genesis chapter 3, we see the record of where mankind passed from spiritual life to spiritual death. Call it darkness, if you will. Therefore, even though I am existing in the natural, I was held by the power of darkness, the spiritual death. But because of Jesus and my faith in him, God now has been able to work that spiritual change in me and deliver me from the power of darkness and then translate me into the kingdom. Now see, this process is very important because it doesn't say God translated me into the kingdom. It says he delivered me from darkness and translated me into the kingdom. Because if he hadn't delivered me from darkness, what difference does it matter what kingdom I live in? So I need to be delivered from darkness. And he did. But he didn't just deliver me from darkness. He translated me into a kingdom wherein I never lived before. Now everything that we see in this world, it's been corrupted by virtue of Genesis chapter 3. But it all goes back to Genesis 1 and 2. Which all goes back to God, who is a spirit. Now, I am a part of that kingdom. Being a part of that kingdom, God says, you are complete. I've translated you into the kingdom of my dear Son, and in him, you are complete. Complete implies no lack, does it not? I am complete in him, from God's perspective. According to God's word, according to God's standards, I am complete in him. Let's think about this for a minute. That means everything, and I don't care what it is, everything that I need is in this kingdom. Let that sink in. Everything I need is in this kingdom. Everything I need is in this kingdom. Everything I need is in this kingdom. But Brother Martin, I can't see it. The kingdom is spiritual. Remember? And remember what we've learned already about Genesis 1, Genesis 2, that everything in the natural originated with God, flowed out of God into the Spirit, and became natural. Remember that? And in Genesis chapter 1, at the end of the creation, You know, 6 days of work, 1 day of rest, that full creation week, if you will. God looked at everything He created and He said, it's very good. That means it was complete. Nothing was lacking. Nothing. So now here I am in this natural world, but I'm a citizen of the kingdom. And it's in that kingdom everything I need exists, because it was out of that kingdom that everything was brought into existence. He said, but I don't understand how that works. And you think I do? Yeah. In the realm of the Spirit, there is something about the power of God that exists in that kingdom, which has the ability to alter everything in the natural. You say, well, how do you figure that? Well, because it brought everything in the natural into existence. So if it has the power to bring it into existence when it never existed, I'll guarantee you it's got the power to alter its state of existence. That means everything that I need is in that kingdom, no matter what. It's there. Doesn't the Bible say, my God shall supply all of your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus? In other words, it comes out of the kingdom. Yes, but I need money. The point of origin for the money you need is in the kingdom. Yes, but there is no money up in heaven. I know there's no money up in heaven. But the point of origin for the money you need is in the kingdom. You say, but God's not going to counterfeit. I didn't say He was. I said the point of origin for the money you need is in the kingdom. You say, well, how do you figure that? Because there's a power in the kingdom that has the ability to impact the realm of the natural so that money comes your direction.
Amen.
You say, well, I don't believe this. Then I can't help you. Think about this. If what I'm saying is not true, then how did creation come into existence? Do you realize that out of the realm of the Spirit, from within God, in Him, that He released out of Him, and God said, let there be. See, the account of creation in Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2, but especially Genesis chapter 1, do you understand that as just an overview? That's not the detail. Because one of the things that God did when He said, let there be, and He starts speaking all of these things into existence, and we have this planet Earth, do you realize that when He was speaking, as He is speaking, He is literally, He speaks and molecules come into existence, and He keeps speaking, and the molecules, because of the power of that is being released out of the Spirit into the realm of the natural, molecules start obeying, and they begin altering, and they begin changing, and they begin attaching to each other in certain ways, to the end result is gold. Gold. Which, by the way, as of this sermon, they are anticipating is going to hit $2,000 an ounce.
I want some.
Me too. I may be headed to Fort Knox here in a couple of weeks. Hallelujah. I'm not joking. I may be headed to Fort Knox here. My nephew is stationed at Fort Knox. So I figure while I'm down there, hey, what? Kingdom gold, man. Open that vault. Let's go. There is a power in that kingdom that has the ability to change and alter everything in the realm of the natural. Did Jesus walk on water? Did Peter walk on water? Out of Jesus there flowed a power that touched Peter, unsaved, unborn again Peter, that somehow impacted him and he was able to walk on the water. But he started to sink. Whoopee-doo, he walked on water. Have you? See what I mean? Now, somebody says, boy, I tell you what. I sure would like to see beautiful mountains. Well, you need to head out to Colorado. Man, you're going to see gorgeous mountains out there. Somebody says, boy, I tell you what, I'd like to see the Pacific Ocean. All right, well, just go to California. Not a problem. Oh, I tell you, I would love to see a great big river. I don't mean some little dinky river. I'm talking about a river of rivers. Well, we need to take you to St. Louis and let you take a look at the Mississippi. Oh, I tell you, I would love to see the Gulf of Mexico. All right, we'll take you down to Texas. There's just a whole lot of the Gulf of Mexico right down there at the end of Texas. Oh, I tell you, I'd love to see a living, breathing, live alligator. Well, then what? You just need to go on down to Florida. You can see one. Well, I'll tell you what I'd like. I'd like to see me a good football team. Well, you just need to go to Columbus, Ohio. Now, for all of my friends who live in Florida and Texas, you know you'd say the same thing if you were preaching this service. Now, here's what I'm getting at. So, all of these things, and many more. Oh, I'd love to... Okay, it's here, is it not? And let's put it like this, in the kingdom of the United States. I know we're not a kingdom, but bear with me. It's here, right? It's here. And I'm telling you, it's here. You tell me that you want, you know, coffee. I say, go to Seattle. You want to see the Pacific? Go to California, the Gulf. Go to Texas, Gators. Go to Florida, a football team. Go to Columbus. And all these different things that you say. And I'm telling you, go here, go there. It's located in this place. It's located. It's over here. It's over there. Okay, now you know they exist, right? But what you don't know is how to get there, right? So now you need some help figuring out how to get to what it is you want. You with me? Figured out where we're headed yet? Boy, I tell you what, I'd love to have some healing. It's in the kingdom. Well, I tell you what, I'd love to have, you know, my right eye has been blind for 30 years. I wish I could see out of my, I wish I had vision for my right eye. It's in the kingdom. Well, my right ear's been deaf for 25 years. I wish I had hearing in my right ear. It's in the kingdom. I just wish that I had peace. Man, I'm just tired of struggling every day. I just want some real peace. It's in the kingdom. Well, I just wish I had some joy. I'm miserable all the time. It's in the kingdom. Well, I wish I had a real purpose for my life. It's in the kingdom. I wish that I had, you know, more finances. It's in the kingdom. Not $50 bills, but it's in the kingdom. In other words, you tell me all these things that you want, all these things you need, all these things that you hope for. And the answer is, it's in the kingdom. It's there. Because everything that exists in the natural, everything, no matter what it is, its point of origin was the Spirit with God in that kingdom. So now here we are on earth, just like Jesus, when he was on earth. And did he ever suffer lack? No. Let me give you an example. Peter, doesn't your master pay the taxes? And Jesus says, Peter, come here, bud. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go down to the river, cast in your line. The first fish you catch, open its mouth, reach inside, and pull out the tax money for you and me. Did that make sense to Peter? Nope. So where was the tax money? It was in the fish's mouth. Yeah, I know that. But there was something in the kingdom that was able to bring about a set of circumstances so that a fish would have tax money in its mouth and would be the first fish Peter caught when he cast his line in. Now, that just sounds weird in the natural. That's how it works in the kingdom. And Jesus was operating by the kingdom all the time, everywhere he went, operated by the kingdom. The people that came to him that needed healing, they got their healing. That's because, now let me say it this way, the kingdom was flowing through Jesus and touching their bodies. And they got their healing. Those thousands of people, how many of you know, you know, on that hillside, it talks about that when they fed the thousands, loaves and fishes, said there were 5,000 men, let alone the women and the children and so forth. Who knows? There might have been, you know, 8, 10, 15,000 people. Don't know for sure. But we know there were 5,000, so let's just use 5,000. How many of you know we've never had 5,000 people in this building before? We don't have 500 people in this building before. Some nights we've been lucky to have 50 people in this building. I'm not complaining. No, I'm really not. But here's what I'm getting at. Here's Jesus. He's got 5,000 men plus women and children. These people were hungry. In the natural, the disciples were saying, they need to be fed. And Jesus is saying, yep. And they said, well, what do we do? What do we do? And Jesus said, we'll feed them. And they said, with what? We don't have the money. And Jesus said, well, what do you have? Well, we got a couple of fish sandwiches here. You know, Peter stopped at McDonald's on the way to the meeting, grabbed something to eat. You know, the stingy guy wasn't going to share, but we found it. We sniffed it out. I'm embellishing. Okay. Listen, when you're preaching, you can embellish. Tell it how you want. It's okay. I don't like McDonald's. He went to Captain D's on the way to us. Red Lobster, I don't care. He just went somewhere. And Jesus said, all right. He said, bring it here. So they brought it to him. And what did he do with it? Now listen to this. The Bible says he blessed it. All right? Now, what did God do, Genesis 1, to create? He spoke. Let me say it this way. He blessed nothingness, and it became somethingness. So here's Jesus, and he's got, you know, a few loaves of bread, which really about like crackers and some fish. And you know the disciples are standing there thinking, what's he going to do with this? Oh, I can just hear, you know, Matthew. Or no, not, yeah, Thomas. I can just hear Thomas. Oh, yeah, he's going to sit there and eat in front of everybody. Leave the rest of us go hungry. Thomas, you mean you don't think he's going to share with us? I doubt it. So, you know, they're standing there wondering, well, okay, what's he going to do? You know, and he blessed it. Okay? Now, I don't know what he said. It just says, he blessed it. That means whatever he said, I mean, get a hold of this. Those words of blessing originated in the kingdom, passed through his spirit, came out of his mouth, and carried with them the kingdom power that touched the loaves and the fishes. Then Jesus did not feed the people.
Oh yeah, he did. Bible said so.
No. The Bible says he gave the loaves and fishes to his disciples and they began to feed the people. Now listen to this. What that means is the kingdom power that flowed through Jesus when he spoke that blessing onto the loaves and fishes, it did not cause the loaves and fishes to start multiplying and feed the people until the loaves and fishes had been placed in the hands of unregenerate lost people, and they started passing out the food and kept passing out the food and kept passing out the food and they kept passing out the food, and everybody ate, all however many thousands there were, everybody ate, and they still had baskets full left over. That meal came out of the kingdom and manifested in the natural, and those people ate. What happened was this. Remember earlier I'm giving you the illustration about how God spoke, God created, and in creation the molecules altered and so on, and you know, they bonded together and some became gold, some became silver, some became rock, some became all things, right? Same kind of thing happened that day when he was feeding the thousands. That power flowed out of the Spirit through Jesus. He speaks that blessing. And then that kingdom power is impacting the natural loaves and the natural fish and altering their molecular structure to where they, the molecules, keep multiplying. Think of it this way. The molecules are giving birth to more fish molecules, more bread molecules, over and over and over and over and over and over and over, thousands of times. And there's some left over. Everything we need has its point of origin in the kingdom. Everything. If there is anything lacking in the kingdom, then the kingdom would be deficient. And the kingdom is not deficient. Everything we need has its point of origin there in the kingdom. And so here I want to go to the Rocky, or I want to see mountains, and I want to see this, and I want to do that. So you tell me these things exist, but then you have to tell me, well, how do I get there? See, all right, you're telling me they exist, but how do I get to the Pacific, and how do I get to the mountains, and how do I get to the gators, and all these other things? How do I get there? Well, then you tell me how to get there. You give me a map, give me directions and so forth. Now I know how to go from where I am to go see those gators. Or to go see the Pacific, or to go see the Atlantic, or to go see a big waterfall. You with me? Likewise, all of these things exist in the kingdom. The problem is, we're not appropriating out of the kingdom into the natural. We're not appropriating out of the kingdom into ourselves. Because the peace I talked about a few moments ago, that peace exists in the kingdom. But I have to figure out how to appropriate it out of the kingdom into my life. Because it's there. It's there now. It's there. The joy, it's there now. The deliverance that I need from habits and behaviors, I don't care what it is. I keep telling God I'm going to stop, having my daily, double shot of rum. But I just can't seem to stop. My double shot of vodka, whatever it is. I keep saying, okay, I'm going to quit. Today's my last day. I'm not really an alcoholic, but I just like it. I'm going to stop. But God, today's the last day. No. Okay, well, today's the last day. No, okay, well, today's the last day. Do you understand? The power to stop that thing comes out of the kingdom. I don't care what kind of habit or behavior you have. That power, it flows out of the kingdom into your spirit, because now you've been translated into that kingdom, and in that kingdom, which is a spiritual kingdom, and I now am a spiritual being with the spiritual life of God, because I'm born again, I can tap into that spiritual power because I'm a citizen in that kingdom. It's there. Listen, any behavior that's not pleasing to God, I can quit. I just have to appropriate from the kingdom into my life. Anything that I need in my life. Listen, as I stand here tonight, I'm still believing to appropriate a healing for my eyes. I don't like wearing glasses. I'm still believing that. But the healing's there. It's there. Everything I need. See, but I'm behind on my bills. Well, the point of origin for the finances you need, it's in the kingdom. But, okay, how do I get there? Well, you're already in the kingdom. You need to understand that. All right, natural illustration. You need money. So you go to the bank. The banker takes you into the vault. And you're standing there. And there are stacks and stacks and stacks of $100 bills. I mean, they're everywhere. And the banker says, well, you said you needed money. Here you go. And you stand there and you say, but I need money. The banker says, okay, well, look around. You say, yeah, but I need money. The banker says, but there's money here. You say, yeah, but I need money. And you look at the banker and you say, why won't you help me? The banker says, you need more than money. In other words, the banker can't figure out why you can't accept the fact you're standing smack dab in the middle of all the money you need. You see what I mean? Now here we are in the kingdom. And we're in it. The Bible says, delivered from the power of darkness, translated into the kingdom. That's now. That's not at in heaven, when the trumpet sounds. That's now. I'm in the kingdom now. And so I go to God and I say, oh, God, I want healing. And God says, well, look around. Oh, God, why won't you heal me? He says, well, look around. Oh, God, you fail me again. And God says, you got a real problem here. The problem is you really don't believe you're in the kingdom, and you really don't believe what's in the kingdom. Because when I come to the place of believing that my healing is there and I'm in the kingdom, just say, I'm in the kingdom of healing. Okay? When I believe I'm there, I'm not going to ask God to provide it. Now, it may not yet have manifested in my body, but I know it's there. It's in the kingdom. I'm in the kingdom. Therefore, I am in the presence of healing. I am in the presence of deliverance. I am in the presence of everything that I need. All of it. Because I am complete in Him. I'm not incomplete. That completeness, it's for everything in the realm of the Spirit that I need and everything that I would need in the realm of the natural. Yes, but there's so much suffering in the world. I know there is. Have you ever considered the possibility that a lot of these Christians that are struggling so bad all over the world don't understand they're in the kingdom? And don't understand everything that is in the kingdom for them? Is that possible? I say it is. And I say there are a lot of Christians in this world living in, you know, what you would call third world countries. They're struggling because they are told you're in a third world country where people struggle. Now, I understand things can be a greater challenge, you know, from our perspective, depending upon where you live. But that where you live does not change what the Bible says, that we've been delivered out of the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom. And in that kingdom, I am complete. So everything I need is in that kingdom. All of it. It's me comprehending this. That's the challenge. So how do I appropriate these things into my life? That's the key. You tell me there's a waterfall in New York. You tell me there's an ocean by California. Gators in Florida. A football team in Columbus. Okay, fine. All these things exist. Now tell me how to get there. Okay, well, here's your map. Follow the map and get there. You tell me that I'm delivered out of the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son, that it's a spiritual kingdom, and that everything I need is there in that kingdom. Okay, fine. Tell me how to get a hold of it. Your roadmap is right here in the Word. The way to access the things of the kingdom contained here, okay? Religion cannot give this to you, but religion can twist what has been given. Because the standard on how to appropriate the things of the kingdom into our lives has been the same all along. Religion has changed this, telling us that some of these things don't work, some of these things aren't for today, and so on and so forth. But yet it's still right here. So if I tell you how to get to Florida to see those gators that you want to look at, and you're talking to somebody else, and you say, yeah, you know, they told me there's live gators down there in Florida. And look here, they show me how to get down there. And somebody says, wait, whoa, hold, let me take a look at this. Nah. This says go south on I-75. No. You need to go north. Trust me. I went to seminary. And I know. You see, a long time ago, people did go south to see the gators. But you need to understand things have changed nowadays. Nowadays, we have to go north. And so these people are traveling north. And you say, well, have you ever seen a gator? No, I've never seen one. Have you ever driven north? Well, yeah, I've driven north. Well, then how do you know they're there? Well, because I know. You questioning me? Go in my office and look at my degrees hanging on the wall. I have to know. I went to school. And yet the whole time the map still says, you're here and Florida is down there. So the map is saying one thing, but people are saying something else. The problem is too many people believe the people instead of the map. The map's right here. People can tell you anything they want to, but the map is still right here. How do I appropriate the things? Well, first off, you know, the Bible talks, you know, faith is a key in this. We understand that, all right? But I've got to believe that these things are there in the kingdom. I've got to believe I'm in the kingdom. I've got to believe I'm delivered from the power of darkness. I have to believe that much. Then I have to believe that everything is there in the kingdom for me and that everything I need has as its point of origin the kingdom. Everything. All of it. No matter what it is. I mean, remember when Philip was, he's ministering to the Ethiopian and he baptizes the Ethiopian and God needed Philip in this other city, like X number of miles away. And as soon as they come up out of the water, I mean, immediately Philip is transported from point A over here to point B. In other words, man, this is cool. I like this. I'm waiting for this. Airlines won't charge me for my baggage anymore. Hallelujah. Philip here. And, oh, what was the name of that city? Azotus or something like that? I don't know. I don't remember. The city where he ended up, let's just call it Dayton for the sake of this teaching. That's easier to pronounce in these Bible words anyway. So here's Philip's over here. All right? He's in Cincinnati, preaching to the Ethiopian and baptizing the Ethiopian, but God wants Philip in Dayton. All right, now it's only, you know, 50 miles away. But what happened was, out of the realm of the kingdom, God had the Holy Spirit move in such a way to where He eliminated all of the natural distance in between Dayton and Cincinnati. And instantly, Philip went from here to here. And then, in the natural, it looked like he had, you know, gone 50 miles. But in the realm of the Spirit, he bypassed the natural. I mean, this is cool. So, God, anytime you want to do that, you know, I got this trip to Australia coming up here. Hallelujah. So now here we have everything in the kingdom. So now, what do I need to do then? What do I need to do? Okay, what is the roadmap to appropriate everything I need? First off, I have to believe that I have access to it. I'm standing in the vault. I have to believe I have access to it. Then, if I want to appropriate it out of the realm of the kingdom, and however this works, okay? I mean, I don't need to know the formula. I just know it works. So what do I need to do then to get it out of the kingdom, the spiritual kingdom, into a manifested reality in my life? What do I need to do? Okay? Brother Martin, I really don't know. Well, the roadmap's right here. Yeah, but, where? That's not too difficult. Not really. I don't mean to sound insulting, but it's not too difficult. You say, well, how do you figure it's not too difficult? All right, here. Think of it this way. How did it all start? What's the first example we see of something being coming out of the realm of the Spirit and manifesting in the natural? Genesis chapter 1. Right? Okay, now, if that is the first example of this happening, then what was it that caused it to happen? And God said, let there be. And so out of Him was released His intentions into the Spirit, and then from the Spirit, I'll say it like this, it flowed into and became the natural. Right? That's primarily how you do it. And Jesus even alluded to that when He said, look, if you believe and don't doubt, you can speak and you will receive. Did He not? Absolutely He did. And people criticize this. And when you pray in tongues, do you know what you're doing? Think of it. When you pray in tongues, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit prays for us according to God's perfect will. All right? Now, if I know something's lacking in my life, it's not manifested, God for sure knows it's not there. So, as I'm praying in tongues, He, God, through the Holy Spirit, is passing, now listen to this, from the realm of the Spirit in through my spirit, out of my mouth, a confession over what needs to be. See this? But I don't understand what I'm saying. It doesn't matter. But I want to know. No, it doesn't matter. If you needed to know, God would have worked it out so your understanding would not be unfruitful. When you're praying in tongues, you are literally, it's a variation on the theme of Genesis chapter 1, and God said, well, as you pray in tongues, all you're doing is repeating the words of the language that God is giving to you by ministry of the Holy Spirit. He's the one that's bringing this forth. You're just the vessel through which it is being released into the natural. And whatever it is that you need, doesn't matter what it is. I mean, God knows more about what you need than what you know that you need. You think you need this, He knows you need that. So as you pray in tongues, you think you're praying in tongues about this, He knows you're praying in tongues about that. You think you're confessing this, He knows you're confessing that. And you're going to get that before you get this. Because that's more needful than this. See what I mean? If you have a lifestyle of praying in tongues, you have confessed into your life things that you may not even know yet. But it's there. Or it's getting ready to manifest. But right along with that, the things that we know, you know, the peace that passes all understanding, we begin to confess these things into our lives. We begin to speak these things. Yes, but it just doesn't. And see right there, that unbelief is the number one problem. See, when I believe that as I am, so is He. I mean, as He is, so am I in this world. And then I see the pattern established throughout Scripture of what He did. And then I believe, okay, here, I mean, the power of darkness, it has no more power over me. Oh, it lies to me and tells me it does. You understand what I mean? Satan will lie to you. But God says He's delivered me from that power and He's translated me over here into this kingdom. So now here I am. I'm in the kingdom of God's dear Son. Everything I need is in this kingdom. Now it's just a matter of appropriating into my life all these things which already exist. You know, if you're hungry and you open the refrigerator and there's a whole bunch of food in there, you grab something and you eat it. But if you open the refrigerator and there's nothing in there and you act like you're grabbing something and you pull your hand out and there's nothing in your hand and you pretend you're eating, that's weird. Because it's not there. And if you offer me a bite, I'm running. But you see, God's refrigerator is not empty. You understand? The vault's not empty. The kingdom's not empty. I'm complete in Him. So I look at my life and I see there's a whole bunch of things that haven't manifested, a whole bunch of things that I need, a whole bunch of things that I can't see, a whole bunch of things that, like on the inside, I need some peace and I need some. I mean, all these things about my life that I believe that I need, and God says, "Son, they're in the kingdom." There's no lack and no deficiency here in this kingdom. They are all there and you are in it. You are surrounded by everything you need. What you need to do is appropriate it out of the realm of the Spirit in the kingdom into your life. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. One of the things that the Word of God reveals to me is everything that is in the kingdom. Everything that I have. Everything that belongs to me. And see, this is why. And listen, I don't want to give the impression that I have fully arrived at this. That I'm walking at this, you know, super Christian level. I mean, I'm learning all this myself. But this is one of the reasons why people keep asking instead of receiving. Because asking is something that is done under the assumption the thing you want does not yet exist. Receiving in the name of Jesus, Father, I receive my kingdom peace. Hallelujah. Emotions, are you listening? Emotions, you are of this world. But the kingdom is not of this world. I am in the kingdom. And since the kingdom is above all, by virtue of the fact it is ruled by the King of Kings, then therefore, as a citizen of this kingdom, I, being seated with Him in those heavenly places, am above all. And emotions? Yes, you recognize the things of the natural. But I receive the peace that passes all understanding, because that is in the kingdom for me. I receive the joy unspeakable and full of glory. I receive the power of a sound mind. You with me? See, all this is in the kingdom. And when you get around Christians, they're complaining. I just don't know what to do. Appropriate it. That's what you need to do. But when you have all these Christians who are in the kingdom and they just complain about everything they don't have and complain about what God is not doing, you know what you're discovering? They're born again. They're delivered from the power of darkness. They are translated into the kingdom, but they don't have a clue. Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but can anybody relate to this? I know I can. Because there are times in my own life, even now, I catch myself. Here's the good part. I catch myself. Used to, I didn't catch myself. You know, it just blab everything, you know. God, you. He says, well, you're in the kingdom, and would you hush your whining? And now, there are times where, I guess you could say like this. Let me just say it this way. I have prayed in tongues. Prayed myself to the place of a greater level of spiritual sensitivity to the things that are coming out of my mouth. And there are things where I'll catch myself starting to say about, you know, wish I had or how come, or, you know, whatever. And then it's like, oh, wait a second. Do I not yet really know what I have? Because what I'm getting ready to complain about not having, according to God's word, I'm standing in the middle of it. It's all around me. I am complete in Him. I wish I had a ministry calling. You do. But it's in the kingdom. You've got to figure out how to appropriate it out of the kingdom into your conscious awareness. And that passes through your spirit into your mind. By the way, you have the mind of Christ. And see, when you start like looking at things from this perspective and start going through, I mean, even in the Old Testament, there are prophecies of kingdom things that we have. Read the book of Psalms. All kinds of prophecies of kingdom things. Proverbs and so forth. Well, here we are. We start reading. We begin to see all these things that are in the kingdom. It's like, my goodness. I mean, what do I have to complain about? You know what I have to complain about? Let me to say it like that. Is me. Because I'm the holdup. I'm already in the kingdom. So I can't complain about not being there. Everything is already in the kingdom. So I can't complain that it's not there. So the problem then is me. It's me. What do I believe about my position in the kingdom? What do I believe is in the kingdom for me? What am I willing to accept that Scripture reveals is in this kingdom? I'm a joint heir with Jesus. What have I inherited? The kingdom. And everything that's in it. So now what I need to do is work on my belief system and my appropriation of those things that are in the kingdom, bringing them into my life, following the pattern of God throughout Scripture, revealed even more so by Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And I need to do it. And I need to keep doing it. You say, well, why do I need to keep doing it? It's because we are fighting unbelief. That's why. That's why we have to keep confessing. It's not that God is deaf. My confession doesn't move God. My confession moves me. And it deals with my unbelief. My praying in tongues doesn't change God or motivate Him. My praying in tongues edifies me and builds me up. See? So I keep confessing. I keep speaking. And yeah, there are going to be times the emotions are going to say, boy, that's stupid. You just keep saying it, but you never get it. Just keep saying it. People around you.
But you keep saying it, but you never get it. You keep saying it.
You don't need to be around those people. You need to hang around people that will confess with you. But it's in the kingdom now. Everything we need has as its point of origin the kingdom. Praise God. Everything. So as far as I'm concerned, I have no lack. Oh, there might be lack natural, but I have access to what's missing in the natural in the kingdom. Praise God. Can you imagine how irritated Satan must get when we figure these things out? Hallelujah. So I want to encourage you tonight. Grab a hold of this. You know, wherever you are, everything we need has as its point of origin the kingdom. It's already there. And what we have to work on is appropriating it from the kingdom into a manifested reality in our own lives. We keep working on it. The Bible says, don't get weary. Keep doing it because you'll reap if you faint not. And I want to reap all my kingdom stuff. Amen.